Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chatham House. I'm Robin Niblett, Director of the Institute. It's our very great pleasure to welcome here today Dr. Monsef Marzouki, President of Tunisia, and Sheikh Rashid Ghannouchi, the leader of the Tunisian Ennahda movement, and to welcome them both here to Chatham House. They're visiting London as joint recipients of the 2012 Chatham House Prize, which will be formally awarded to them later this evening at the prize ceremony and dinner. President Marzouki and Sheikh Ghannouchi were chosen to win the 2012 Chatham House Prize earlier this year by a majority of Chatham House members in recognition of the important steps that they took in 2011 to enable Tunisia's political transition. They were in the vanguard, I think it's fair to say, of the historical steps towards democracy that are transforming much of the Arab world, and in particular in North Africa. We are very grateful, therefore, that they would take the time to come and join us today at Chatham House to discuss some of the challenges that Tunisia is facing today and looking to the future into 2013. Let me turn now to Dr. Claire Spencer, who is the head of the Middle East and North Africa program at Chatham House. She will be moderating this discussion and taking you through some of the practical aspects of the meeting as well. Claire.
Thank you very much, Robin. Welcome, everybody, to a very momentous event, I have to say. This is the annual prize giving this evening of a prize which is annually awarded. But I should stress the meeting today is really to give you, the members who voted for our prize winners, the chance to discuss the ongoing challenges facing Tunisia today. It's the prospects for Tunisia this year rather than a retrospective look at last year. Without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speakers. President Dr. Monsef Marzouki, first of all, is the current, and I think chronologically the fifth president of Tunisia, but only the fourth if you don't count the 24-hour presidency of Mohamed Ghannouchi in January 2011. He is also the founder of the centre-left secularist party, Congress for the Republic. During the 1990s, Dr. Marzouki became known as one of Tunisia's leading campaigners for human rights, founding the African Network for the Prevention of Child Abuse and heading the Tunisian League of Human Rights, amongst many other related activities. In 1994, after narrowly failing to challenge the former president Ben Ali in a presidential election, Dr. Marzouki was held as a political prisoner and then forced to live in exile in France. It was on his return to Tunisia in 2011 that he was elected interim president for the transition period by Tunisia's first democratically elected constituent assembly in October 2011. Our second speaker is Sheikh Rashid Ghannouchi, who is an Islamic scholar and leader of the Islamist Ennahda, or Renaissance Movement, now a political party, and it is indeed Tunisia's largest political party. After spending much of the 1980s as a political prisoner under Ben Ali's regime, Sheikh Ghannouchi sought political asylum in the UK in 1991, where he lived until his return to Tunisia last year. Under his leadership, Ennahda made the choice of forming a coalition government with other secular parties, viewing this as essential to a successful democratic transition. And despite not seeking or holding an official position of state beyond his continuing leadership of Ennahda, Sheikh Ghannouchi remains an influential voice in Tunisian politics. So first to speak, please, Mr. President.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you first for granting me the opportunity to share with you a short presentation of the ongoing process of democratization in my country. Tunisia today is an exceptional experimentation lab in the Arab world, where the democratic commitment of all political actors, the issues of economic reform, peace and stability, the possibility of trans-ideological alliances are tested in unique way. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the challenge we are facing is the following. Given that contemporary Arab societies are both very attached to their Arab and Islamic heritage, and very modern and globalized, given that former political regimes have one after another tried to get rid of the conservative part of the modern or of the modernist part of the societies, often resorting to tremendous degrees of state violence, how then can we go beyond this fatal dichotomy where a faction of the population is against the other and where society is torn apart? Our strategy in Tunisia has been to seek consensus based on a coalition of moderate Islamists and moderate secularists so that we can govern in the center. This was meant to show to conservatives that identity will not be sacrificed in the name of modernity, and to show modernists that modernity will not be sacrificed in the name of identity. If this experiment fails, another cycle of violence will undoubtedly take place. But if it succeeds, it can become an example for the rest of the Arab and Muslim countries. I want to believe that it will succeed, and we are confident about the outcome. Having said this, we are fully aware of the huge challenges we are facing. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, transitional periods are never easy to manage due to the proliferation of political, social, and economic demands. These numerous challenges require immediate solutions to meet people's need and expectation, lest not democratic forces might be tempted to exploit the disillusionment and discontent of segment of the population in order to cause instability and introduce aggressive ideologies, denying fundamental freedom and jeopardizing modernist social achievement made since the independence. This historic democratic transition in Tunisia is still fragile and needs an important support in order to alleviate sources of economic and social tensions that might jeopardize the democratic process or result in disillusionment with democratic values. The problem of unemployment of university graduates and intolerable disparities between coastal and inland regions are particularly a source of utmost concern and serious threat to Tunisia's stability and democratic process. The country's priorities are basically job creation, investment attraction, trade development, through more regional integration, democratic consolidation, accountability, rule of law, consolidation, and undertaking necessary measures to introduce good governance reforms. However, Tunisia succeeded despite some internal and external difficulties to underscore some significant results. In this connection, mention should be made of the measure taken with regard to the political reforms. They are related to the organization of the election of the members of the Constituent Assembly that took place in democratic atmosphere, in all transparency, and in the presence of local and international observers. The designation of a coalition government that was the fruit of long consultation and discussion with all the political stakeholders. The creation of a ministerial department in charge of human rights and what is known as the transitional justice, considered as the cornerstone of any long-term, successful, smooth, and pacific political transition. The election of the various committees within the Constituent Assembly entrusted with drafting a new constitution, which is currently putting the fundament of genuine democratic and republican regime. The consolidation and the pursuit of democratic reforms tending towards reinforcing freedom of the press, setting up a truly pluralistic political life and a vibrant civil society. The continuous endeavors to consolidate the pillars of an independent justice as well as a functional judiciary apparatus as a prerequisite for good governance, a democratic government, and a political system based on the separation of powers and the rule of law. It should be noted in this respect that these accomplishments, made possible thanks to the revolutionary spirit still guiding our action and by our belief in the shared noble values of freedom, dignity, and respect for people's aspiration. Hence, the organization in Tunis of the International Conference of the Friend of the Syrian People, which was attended by more than 70 delegations from various brotherly and friendly countries, because we believe that our freedom cannot be achieved if other brotherly people are still denied their fundamental rights. Tunisia should also provide the condition for safe and sound economic pillars in order to attract foreign direct investment. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to its manageable size, its small population, and the many assets of potential, it has developed, such as quality of human resources and educations, women emancipation, large middle class, open and modernist tradition, relatively sound economic fundamentals. Tunisia is well poised, with the leading support of freedom-loving nations, to succeed its transition and to graduate as an affordable course, at an affordable cost, as a model for democratic enlightenment and an inspiration for the region. No doubt the challenges that Tunisia has to meet are numerous and difficult, especially that our region is going through some drastic changes and that the overall economic situation is not encouraging. But democracy, as you know, and prosperity are tightly linked. Freedom begets opportunity. Tunisia's experience in matters of democratization has been focused on the imperative to free the press, to pave the way for a genuine pluralistic society where all political trends are allowed to voice their concern and defend their views. Despite the difficulties of this defining moment of our history and the shortage of financial means, the strategy of the Tunisian government for the immediate future resolves around fighting poverty, especially in inland area, creating job opportunities, reducing regional development disparities by setting forth long-term development plans with the perspective of rebuilding the general infrastructure of the country. This, we do hope, will serve as a kind of protection against marginalization and social exclusion at the roots of all evil. Yes, we might observe it would be wrong to pretend that these challenges would be addressed through relying exclusively on our own resources. The change our people are yearning for is not only political, but it's equally of an economic and social nature. The outburst of the Tunisian Revolution, if should not be forgotten, was triggered following the self-immolation of a fruit vendor in a protesting act against unlawful and corrupt practices against social and economic deprivation and marginalization. In a nutshell, the origin of the problem are clearly identified and the remedies are known. We are persuaded that in spite of the precarious situation we are facing today, thanks to our efforts, we shall overcome the current difficulties, make the Tunisian Revolution a success story and a source of emulation for other nations. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as I stand here in front of you, I feel that two worlds are brought together. East and West are bridged by shared universal values that pave the way to what I have cherished all my life long, the simple fact of living in peace on the ground of mutual understanding and respect. These are the ingredients of an everlasting East-West spring. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أحييكم أيها السادة والسيدات بخير التحية فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to greet you with the greet of people. Thank you for organizing this event and the appreciation which I've received. And I'd like to address this reward to the youth of the revolution. And I'd like to dedicate it to the Unionist people and its revolution and to the Freedom Mothers.